The MarTech Podcast is a proud member of the I Hear Everything Podcast Network. Looking to launch or scale your podcast? I Hear Everything delivers podcast production, growth, and monetization solutions that transform your words into profit. Ready to give your brand a voice? Then visit IHearEverything.com.
From advertising to software as a service to data.
Across all of our programs and clients, we've seen a 55 to 65% open rate.
Getting brands authentically integrated into content performs better than TV advertising.
Typical lifespan of an article is about 24 to 36 hours.
If we're reaching out to the right person with the right message and a clear call to action, then it's just a matter of timing.
Welcome to the MarTech Podcast, a member of the I Hear Everything Podcast Network. In this podcast, you'll hear the stories of world-class marketers that use technology to drive business results and achieve career success. Here's the host of the MarTech Podcast, Benjamin Shapiro.
Welcome to the MarTech Podcast. I'm Benjamin Shapiro, the executive producer of the MarTech Podcast, and today we've got a special episode for you, which is going to be guest-hosted by Doug Bell, who's the CMO of Chief Outsiders. Doug is a veteran CMO with a background in helping growth-stage B2B SaaS companies reach their true potential, and I'm thrilled to invite him and some of his friends to take the microphone and share their knowledge with you, our loyal MarTech Podcast listeners. Okay, here's a special episode of the MarTech Podcast, guest hosted by Doug Bell, the CMO of Chief Outsiders.
Hello, marketers. My name is Doug Bell from Chief Outsiders. And today, we're going to be talking about the future of marketing and chatbots. Joining me is Nick Martin, who is the co-founder of Direct, which is the first AI chatbot platform exclusively tailored for publishers. Yesterday, Nick and I talked about the upsides and downsides to building your own chatbots. And today, we're going to continue the conversation by talking about chat engine optimization and how that's becoming the new SEO for advertising. Okay, here's my conversation with Nick Martin, the co-founder of Direct. Welcome back, Nick.
It's great to be back.
Cool conversation yesterday. I appreciate you spending time with us. Learned a ton about data quality for publishers. Didn't even think about that. That's their game. They're on top of it. Great place for your business to start. This next topic's my favorite, so we might geek out a bit. So let's pick up where we left off yesterday. And I thought you did a great job of sort of setting this conversation up. You talked about how the vast majority of folks want to interact with brands very differently. And as evidence, you talked about the fact that at the end of the day, Insta really is one of the biggest messaging platforms in the world. So we know that this is how people are oriented. We understand that's happening. Websites aren't set up for that. Your ability to interact with content on a website, no matter how small or how large, is not set up for that. We talked a bit about how to get there yesterday. We talked about your business. We talked about how you guys are deploying for publishers. Today, I wanted to dig into a bit of what this means. We're going to get our flying car. Okay, we're going to get into the future here. We're going to talk about what this transition to a chatbot-driven web looks like. Where do you think things are going? Get in your flying car for me, if you will.
We've always believed in a vision of the future that we describe as the chat-first internet. And that's not a world where apps don't exist or websites don't exist, but that the conversational interface is the primary way that users discover, engage, consume content and information. And if you believe in that future the way we do, then one of the things that's really important is making sure that your brand, whether you're a content publisher or any other type of company for that matter, shows up in any of the places people want to have conversations. And so that does mean on your website, which is a critical part of what we do, and then the open web is massive. But it also means making sure that if users are having conversations in the DMs on Instagram, that your brand is there and that you can engage users through a conversational experience in the DMs on Instagram or in iMessage or any other channel for that matter.
You sort of got up onto the flying car and jumped off. So I'm going to borrow a term, by the way. Can I take this term for you? Is this your term, chat first internet?
I don't know if that's my term, but if you're willing to say it is, I'd love to have it.
Okay. Well, I'm stealing it. It's now public. I'm stealing this term from whoever you took it from. It's a brilliant term. But I think I want to put people, and I don't know how far out this is, right? I feel like it's going to happen much more quickly than we can imagine, but I'm going to be speaking to my fellow Gen Xers and boomers out there. I'm in front of my computer right now, and I need to go find something. I pull up my browser of choice, which 98.8% of the time is going to be Google, and I go looking for something.
Right.
And what you're talking about here is to say, when you go looking for something in the near future, and again, I think it's going to happen much more quickly than people realize, in the near future, you're going to see search results that will pop up a series of what? Chatbots.
So there's two parts of this. One is when you search for something, you're going to get answers instead of a set of links. That's starting to happen now. And the impacts on how pretty much the entire digital ecosystem runs are going to be pretty profound. And then what I believe and what we believe at Direct is that increasingly, as a chatbot answers your search query with an answer, it's also going to start recommending other chatbots to you, where if you want to go deep, if you want to follow up, you're going to do so by chatting with the source material's independent AI. And so again, if the analogy today is I search on Google, I click on a link for a third-party website, it's I chat with Google, and then I actually start a new chat with a third-party publisher or brand or owner of that content IP answer, whatever it might be. And that seems to be how it's going to play out. I think one of the other things, again, depending on how far out we go in this flying car, is where you go to search is going to become much more fragmented. So one, at a high level, the ability to deliver a good search experience is becoming more commoditized than it ever has been. And that also means that the places you can search are going to be more distributed than they ever have been. And so again, back to that Instagram DMs example. If today I am in a group chat with my friends on Instagram and I need to search for something, today I leave Instagram, I open up Chrome or the native search on my phone, I search for something, I get a result. Pretty soon, and technically you can already do this with Meta AI, which is has an integration with Bing, there's going to be a chatbot in that same messaging inbox that I'm in, where I'm just going to go to that chatbot and ask for the answer. I'm not going to need to go into a browser in order to complete my search query. So where the search happens will change, and then how the search actually is experienced is already changing pretty quickly. And we think the obvious outcome here is we're going from a list of links to a set of answers, and that that set of answers will evolve into an introduction for future conversations with additional bots.
So diversity of gatekeepers, really, it's what we're talking about. I'm trying to single track this into a conversation about search engines, right? But at the end of the day, the gatekeepers change.
So anybody who owns the end user at scale is well positioned, right? So the gatekeepers might change. It might just mean that Meta is a little more relevant in search and there could be some balancing of powers, but Meta is already a gatekeeper in so many other respects. If you have end user attention, you're really, really well positioned. We think there's a long tail that in aggregate will be meaningful. We think that's better for brands and better for publishers. And so certainly the power dynamics are shifting. I think Google is going to be fine because they own Android and Apple's going to be fine because they own iOS and the hardware is the best place to start if you can. What they're going to do with Siri or Google Assistant will be really meaningful. And if you, again, get back in the flying car and go even further out, we're not that far off from having voice assistants that really do work and don't need to be on your phone, but maybe sit on your desk. Maybe you have a little humanoid robot that follows you around the house. These things seem like they're coming at some level. And so the interface changes will always matter. And whoever has the end user attention will always be in a position of strength. The fact that it should be more distributed should be better for everybody else, right? For the rest of businesses and publishers and creators. And so hopefully that does remain true.
New industry. We're going to name it right now. Ready?
I'm ready.
Chat engine optimization to chat first internet. You've done an artful job of moving us past the current paradigm. Again, the current paradigm is I need to go to my browser, I need to look something up. So it's going to be much more integrated in the walled gardens, the platforms, the third-party platforms we're so used to. Okay, we've set the table. How the heck are you going to figure this out? You're going to get a Nobel Prize for telling us how to do this, or the Fields Medal, some scientific prize. Okay, here we go. How do you optimize the bot? Let's start with this idea of optimizing so that you show up much more frequently in the context of a Facebook, a Bard, whoever, and their interface. In other words, their AI. So how do you optimize for their AI, I guess is the starting question.
So that's the magic question. And I won't pretend to have a silver bullet, but there are a few things that we're seeing that we think are of interest. First, I would say asking this question is the equivalent of asking a print newspaper in 1999 how to show up in search results, right? So it was really new. People hadn't done it yet. They didn't even have a website. How are they supposed to show up in the search results? And that's the first thing we tell all of our partners and everybody we meet with is like, at a bare minimum, like get in the game. Start creating your own chat experience so you can learn firsthand what drives user engagement. So park that for a second. Now let's go think about the search engine's motivations. So if you're a Google or you're a Microsoft or you're anyone but DuckDuckGo, and no shade on DuckDuckGo, but they don't have the same revenue model. And so just throwing them to the side for a moment, you're trying to drive advertising revenue. And the way that works today is well understood. And there's been plenty of commentary about the challenges of a chat-first search experience where they're giving you an answer instead of a list of links now that could cannibalize the existing advertising business. So what would be the natural incentive? Well, the natural incentive of the chat-first search experience, which with Google, let's just call that SGE, which is what they're building today. And you can use Bard as a proxy. And you can think of ChatGPT in the same light because people are using it for search in many respects. the incentive is going to be to keep the conversation going or to refer you or hand you off to another chatbot. The reason is that those are the two things that will unlock more advertising inventory. So if you fast forward, whether it's 6 months or 2 years, it is really, really likely, in our opinion, that as somebody gets an answer from SGE, the publishers and the brands and the businesses that get recommended are going to be the ones that incentivize the user to continue having a conversation. And that might mean the conversation starter becomes the equivalent of what the headline is today. So a click-worthy headline performs well because people click on it. A really good conversation starter might become really, really important because that's what gets people to have longer conversations, which opens up more advertising inventory, in this case for the search engine. So that's generally how we think about it. But you can't get there if you don't already have a chat experience. And if you have one, you start learning what's actually working to drive engagement and keep people there. Start figuring out the right proactive questions to ask. And then there's a second stream of, well, what do I do with my existing content and my existing website? And how do I optimize that? And I think that's starting to become more well understood. And again, by building your own chatbot, you get kind of firsthand understanding of, well, when my content is structured this way, it's really easy for the chatbot to understand what I wrote. And when it's structured this way, it isn't. There's an example recently, Politico redesigned their entire websites over in Europe for the purpose of optimizing for these AI systems rather than legacy search engines. And the stated changes are relatively simple, but probably would be quite impactful. One of them was just having good subheadlines throughout the article so that the chatbot knows the relationship between one paragraph and another, and it knows how to break it down into chunks. And by making that easy on the chatbot, on the Bard or the ChatGPT, the assumption or the theory that they're running with is that will make it more likely that they use their content. That strategy seems to have merit at a high level. We have to see how it plays out because it certainly is still much closer to 1999 than it might feel. You know, ChatGPT is now only, I think, 15 months old, maybe a little bit older than that. So the best practices aren't well established. The general advice we give is get in the game and then start testing and learning. I think it'll become well-defined more quickly, but it's also a little derivative of the scale of these search engines. And so the faster SGE rolls out, I think the more pressure will be put on determining these things and also on Google themselves to roll out new best practices and give advice to the market. But some companies that have run measurement against this have suggested that the first result in SGE is only the same as the first result in traditional search 12% of the time. So clearly, the engines run differently. They're looking for different things. And the consequences there are going to be quite significant.
Time for a 1 minute break to hear from our presenting sponsor, Mutinex. In 1919, John Wanamaker said, "Half the money I spend on advertising is wasted. I just don't know which half." Well, the advertising landscape has changed since then. And instead of reaching your audience on two channels, you're probably reaching them on 20. Turns out John didn't know how easy he had it. But that doesn't mean that you should give up on striving towards marketing effectiveness. No matter how complex your marketing strategy is, Mutinex Growth OX is the market mix modeling platform that measures the impact of marketing on your bottom line. Mutinex's market mix modeling platform calibrates your insights against the latest market conditions so you can make media and marketing investment decisions confidently and quickly. Ready to take your team from I think to I know? Then join brands like Samsung, ING, and Asahi who make better marketing decisions with Mutinex. Mutinex Growth OX, your best decision starts here. To learn more about Mutinex, go to mutinex.co. That's mutinex.co. Okay, here's the rest of today's interview. A special thanks to our presenting sponsor, Mutinex. Ready to take your team from I think to I know? Then join brands like Samsung, ING, and Asahi who make better marketing decisions with Mutinex. Mutinex Growth OX, the marketing mix modeling platform that makes measuring ROI fast, easy, and cost-effective. Request a demo at mutinex.co. That's mutinex.co.
You can't see me. This is not video. This is a podcast, but I almost cracked a rib laughing with the analogy of the transition between newspaper and search engines and how would you have told a publisher how to optimize hard copy content over to a search engine. But I would challenge that a bit and say, as funny as that was such a huge shift. And I think there's an underlying algorithm, let's call that a paradigm as well, And you talked about Politico. You're talking about H1s when you're talking about how to organize the content on those articles. So, hey, does that mean that you're going to go optimize H1s? No. What that means is you've got two competing things happening at all times when it comes to search engines. And again, each walled garden has its own particular notions of how this should happen. But the underlying notions are as follows. The better your data is structured, the more likely it is to rank and show up in the way that it needs to. Quality content creates quality experience for the user. And I love this idea of like, hey, folks, we don't know until we get there. But in the meantime, as you're thinking about building this stuff, have this in mind. What's the quality of the experience? Are they getting to what they need to? Do they continue the conversation? And then you nailed something else, which I love, is creating additional revenue for the search engines. So is it inherent in their business model? Which, by the way, we just talked about Google's entire business model.
Totally. I think you nailed it. If you put the consumer first, you'll always be in an okay position. And if you learn how to deliver a great chat experience to your readers today, search engine optimization has been changing every day for the last 20 years. I mean, it's a moving target. It always has been. It always will be. This is probably the most significant change just yet. But to your point, I think the best practices, the first principles are tried and true. Like, have good structured data, have great consumer experience. And if you do that and you run the experiments and you play offense, everybody will figure it out. It's going to look different. And there's a chance there's fewer winners and more losers than in the past. And if that happens, it's largely tied to just the harsh reality of if your search engine gives you three answers instead of 12 links, there's just 25% as much opportunity. And so maybe the winners win bigger. That will put some pressure, I think, on a lot of people to figure this out really quickly.
The key is to start.
Yeah. And to your point, it is a different time. And I think everybody is starting. We witness this firsthand every day now where there's not much of a let's wait and see and we want to slow play it. That did not last very long. I think in Q1 of last year, reasonably, you're 90 days in. People just got beat over the head with the crypto hype cycle for 2 years. There was some amount of like, is this really going to take off? Is it what we think it is? And again, I think that was still a really small fraction of people because firsthand experience using ChatGPT for most people is quite profound. But I do think generally marketers, executives, editorial teams are all leaning forward, maybe more so than they had in the past, because we've all seen it. We've all learned what happens when we go to the internet and then when we go to mobile and then what happens with social. So there's so much built-in experience for the executives running these companies where they've lived through 1 to 2 to 3, maybe 2.5 shifts where the patterns are pretty well understood, right? Everybody understands if they were a young executive when Twitter came out and their rival competitor got on Twitter a year earlier, and then they tried to do it a year later, how much harder it was. And so people understand these sort of basic practices now in a way that maybe they didn't 10 or 15 years ago. And I do think in general, and I don't know from the other folks you talk to, if maybe you hear a different sentiment, most marketers, most executives, most people leading big brands today are really intently at least paying attention and trying to figure out the right way to get started with an AI-first strategy for their business, whatever that might be.
B2C side, absolutely. The pathway from deploying AI in whatever form to increasing the benefit to their business model is just much more straightforward. I think there's a lot more lag there in the B2B world, a lot more complexity, and that's typical. But I think to wrap this up, I feel what we're talking about here is this. It's a superior model, one. The reason it's a superior model is the user experience is so much better. And ultimately, I'm putting on my economist hat here, but productivity. So you've got this virtuous cycle. It's a better user experience. And I'm going to mention a fourth. It is much easier to integrate commercial interest into this than the hack job. Sorry, Google, if you're listening. The hack job we've done with search engines, which if you've gone on a search in the last 15 minutes, you probably are noticing the number of organic listings has just diminished tremendously. I think we're down to 4.
Can I ask you something? Did you feel that way before ChatGPT? Because I find one of the greatest pieces of revisionist history over the last 15 months has been like, yeah, search engines aren't that good. And I think if you try to convince somebody in October of 22 that search engines weren't good, they're like, what are you talking about? It's Google. It's easy because you're so trained to it. And then you get the better experience and you're like, this is unbelievable. I think the taxi to Uber transition is like analogous here.
Oh, that's spot on.
Maybe you were like, this taxi's annoying. You don't even know of a better solution. The moment you use Uber, you're like, I can't believe I was like hailing a taxi.
Search was in decline before, but hey, that's my job to interview you, Nick.
Fair enough.
But I think it's a great question. I think it was in decline, and I'm calling out the SERPs as an example of how that commercial model needs to exist well within the platforms that are going to, unfortunately, guide us through this transition are the ones that are ultimately going to determine the commercial application. So if we're thinking about how to build your bot so it's going to perform best, its user quality, its user experience. But when you get down to it, end of the day, the pathway that you're laying out with what's happening at Direct, I think is a really good example of how organizations can get started And I think there's a little bit of fear, at least in the B2B side, about Google's got a great framework, by the way, it's free, that you can deploy on your website to actually create a chatbot, if you will. This is a different use case than what Nick is talking about. It's a little less commerce-based, more informationally based. And if you try and deploy it, it's hard. And you're running into these situations where quite often it's either producing bad data, it's misunderstanding your data. And by the way, the data is your CMS. Your CMS is not configured to serve a large language model. So there are all these things that sort of stand in the way, is my point to your question, on the B2B side. Whereas the B2C side, like, if that's not humming, your business was hosed before Nick and his team showed up. I learned a ton today, both conversations today. Nick, I really appreciate your time.
Thanks for having me. I enjoyed it as well.
Okay, that wraps up this episode of the MarTech Podcast. Thanks to Nick Martin, co-founder of Direct, for joining us today. If you'd like to get in touch with Nick, you can find a link to his LinkedIn profile in our show notes. You can also find him on Twitter, where his handle is at NickTweeting, or visit his company website at Direct. That's direqt.ai.
Okay, that wraps up this episode of the MarTech Podcast. Thanks to our guest host, Doug Bell, the CMO of Chief Outsiders. If you'd like to get in touch with Doug, you could find a link to his LinkedIn profile in our show notes, or you can contact him on Twitter, where his handle is Market Advocate, or you could just visit his website, which is chiefoutsiders.com. Just one more link in our show notes I'd like to tell you about. If you didn't have a chance to take notes while you were listening to this podcast, head over to martechpod.com, where we have summaries of all of our episodes and contact information for our guests. You can also subscribe to our weekly newsletter, and you can even apply to be the next guest speaker on the MarTech Podcast. Of course, you can always reach out on social media. Our handle is MarTechPod, MarTechPod, on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook, or you can contact me directly on LinkedIn. My handle is BenJShap. BenJShap. And if you haven't subscribed yet and you want a daily stream of marketing and technology knowledge in your podcast feed, we're going to publish an episode every day this year. So hit the subscribe button in your podcast app and we'll be back in your feed tomorrow morning. All right, that's it for today. But until next time, my advice is to just focus on keeping your customers happy.
Thanks for listening to the MarTech Podcast, an I Hear Everything production. Looking to launch or scale a podcast like this one for your brand? Then visit iheareverything.com.